This is an interview with Nathalie Dussulier, June 19, Side 1. Would you tell me something about your own family background and where you come from and a little bit of about your education, because you went from a doctorate in the pharmacological sciences into information and science. And I'd be interested to know how all of that works. So,
my family, you want to know about my family?
Just briefly, where you come from and who you are, really.
I was born in Nice, here, from Russian parents. Huh? And I went to school in Nice, and then I did my pharmacological studies in Marseille and then in Paris, where I prepared my PhD in pharmacology and a lot of other studies around the pharmacology, Institut Pasteur, biology, hematology, serology, virology, biology. And I decided to study business administration when my husband studied that for his own career. He had a PhD in political sciences and a diploma of engineer. Then I did this diploma in business administration, complete at the beginning when it was when it started in France. I think it was the first year. I was not very good because the law was not interesting me a lot, but I was selected because they didn't have any scientists studying that. And they have selected one pharmacologist and one veterinaire.
And were you the only woman or were there other women?
No, there were other women.
And when was this?
When? In 50s something? I don't remember, 58, maybe 60,
yeah.
Maybe in 1960. I'm not even quite sure, I would have to check. And then I studied supplementary diplomas in industry pharmaceutical industry, to work in the pharmaceutical industry. I didn't want to work in the pharmacy. And in 61, I had a car accident, and I stayed in, at the end of 60, I stayed about 1 year in a gips, lying completely. And after that, when I came out of this story, the doctor said that I cannot work standing for 3-4 years, and I have to change my job. I was working in a pharmacy doing the medical biological analysis, and I have to change. And I didn't know what to do with this kind of diploma and not standing. Because just before my accident, I found a job in the Laboratoire de Lagrange, a pharmaceutical laboratory, to do the control of drugs. It's not fascinating. Now, I think it's not fascinating, but at that time I was happy. But then I had this accident with our car just turned. I was with my three children. And
they were not hurt?
Not really. My husband was hurt. He was open here, but I was hurt because I was thrown out of the car. And I decided to put an annonce, an advertisement in Le Monde, say doctor en pharmacie with these kind of diplomas, knowing French, English, German, Russian, Spanish, would like to find a job, but if possible in the same area, but not standing, something like that. And during 2 weeks I didn't receive anything, and 2 weeks later I received a letter from CNRS saying that they are very interested by my candidature to analysis, abstracting and indexing of journals in pharmacology, biochemistry, biophysics, and in Russian and German. I say that's stupid, I would never do this kind of job, but I decided to go and to see what it was. And I arrived in CNRS at the headquarters, and I was horrified. It was a very large room of people sitting like in a classroom, like that, and one lady sitting on a strap, looking at all this. And these were all people with PhDs and masters in different disciplines that CNRS was covering at the time for business in IT. And they say, oh, we want you, absolutely. Or they ask me to do some correction, to correct the manuscript.
Yes.
Mistakes. I never did that before, but I did. I think I did it well because they were very happy for stupid work. But and then they say, oh, we want you to start next week. I said, no, I can't. My husband is not there. I want to talk to him before taking a job, and he was traveling for his work. And they said, no, you can start, and if you don't like it, you just leave. No obligation, your contract is going to be processed, but it takes 2 months or 3 months, and don't worry. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And I started. In fact, it was quite interesting. It was a little bit difficult because I knew Russian, they gave me Bulgarian, Polish, different, let's say, Czech related languages. But I said, no, I know Russian, not Ukrainian. So they said, yes, but if you're going to do it, who can do it? Then I really tried to do it. But anyway, I did that during a year, a little bit more than a year.
So this was preparing abstracts?
Preparing abstracts and doing a kind of indexing to do this index,
yeah.
Index matière,
yeah.
subject index. And then I said, okay, I do that a little time, and then I recover, and then I try to do something else. At that time, Jean Viard was the director of CDST. And a little bit more than a year after I came, the director, who was a Spanish man, a researcher working with Jean Viard, he was never there, he was in his laboratory, but he was the official director.
The official director of CDST?
Yeah. No. The official director of CDST was Jean Viard, but CDST had several departments. And the official director of Bulletin Signalétique, who was the largest department, was this Spanish, I don't even remember the name. And he decided to leave to Spain to continue his research in Spain. And he was replaced by a guy from Institut Pasteur, called Dr. Brigot, B-R-Y-Y.
Oh, B-R-Y, yeah.
G-O-O.
Oh,
Brigot. And he came from Institut Pasteur. He was moved from Institut Pasteur to become the director of CDST and to try to think about making it more fashionable. Maybe they will start talking about automation, not creation of online files or anything like that, but just automation of the operation. Because Bulletin Signalétique, as you know, was a very large operation, and we were doing author indexes, 500,000 author. then the people were sitting on the very long tables like that, maybe 20 or 30 people, A, B, C, and they were putting in alphabetical order like that.
It was on cards?
Yeah, on pieces of, on stamps, even on stamps, because to do the abstract, we had a piece of paper like that. On the top, there were the authors, on small stamps. On the side, the subject, and here the abstract. Then the people cut.
Oh, cut, yes.
And all the authors, and then cut the indexes. And then they were putting on some tables all the indexes, and on some other tables some authors. And the authors were classified by clerical people, and the subject indexes were classified by scientists, because they tried to organize, it was not a machine, a computer reject if things were wrong or not very good. And the idea was to try to automate these operations. That was the Victor Hugo. He knew a little bit about automation, but really a little bit. It was in 62, 63. And at that time, Saint-Gobain company, it's a very large chemical company. They have started the automation of their documentation, the first in France, Saint-Gobain. Gobain, G-O-G-O-B-A-A-I-N. Gobain, A-I-N. No, Gobain.
A-I-N. Oh.
It was a very large chemical company. And one of the guys who was in charge of that, called Pigagnol, Monsieur Pigagnol, he was a friend of Brigaud, and they were coming to work together. And this Brigaud, after a few months, I don't remember how many months, decided that I was going to help him. I was in charge with one department of Bulletin Signalétique. He said that I'm going to help him with this automation operation, whatever. And as we didn't have a lot of space, I was sitting with him, a very large office like this room, but we were sitting, both of us, in this room. And in France it's unusual, because the people, they like their privacy, they like to have their own offices. But he wants to work with me so that they would be able to, we would be able to exchange information. And this is how we started talking about automation. And then Dr. Brigaud, he was offered by a large American laboratory, Eli Lilly, I suppose, or something like that, a job in America, and he decided to go to America. And he left us with all the problems, and no chief for biology. No, Dr. Brigaud, he was the chief for biomedical. There were three departments at that time. One department was everything which is around biology, agriculture, medicine, biology, pharmacology, biophysics. Another department was mathematics, physics, chemistry, etc. A chief was Madame Duval, a lady called Madame Duval. And another department, sciences humaines.
Oh, yeah.
There were three bulletins signalétiques separate. And Brigaud was in charge with the biology part. And he decided to leave, and then the biology part stayed without a chief. And Jean Viard, at that time, we stayed, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months without a chief, directly under the direction of Jean Viard. And I remember it was at the end of the year, Jean Viard called me in his office, and he asked me, "I hope you're not going to go on holidays for Christmas." I said, "Why? No, we expected to go on holidays for Christmas. He said, no, you stay. I said, why? He said, because you are going to take the biology, to take over the biology. And I said, it's impossible. I'm the last arrived, and there were two ladies, one in charge of medicine and the other in charge with agriculture, who was there for a long time. And I said, we have a lot of problems with them. No, no. But you take the biology and you announce them yourself. That was very convenient. And then he said, by the way, Madame Duval, no, that started like that. Then I took over the biology, I talked to the lady, I said, look, I didn't ask for anything because I'm not planning to stay anyway, but this is life. And but they were okay. They said, look, we know you, and we don't know in this field who could have been named. There were a few names that people I didn't know. We don't want them. There were researchers that nobody wants to do. Nobody wants anymore for research. And they say, okay, you are not good anymore for research, you go to information. This was at that time kind of a possibility. And we start working, and we did quite a good job with starting the automation of these authors and indexes. And a year later, Madame Duval was retired. And the director of human sciences, who was a geograph, a researcher in geography, didn't want to do the job anymore, decided to leave. And one day Jean Viard called me and he said, now I would like to tell you that you are going to take over also the mathematical, physical part and the human side. I said, look, I don't know anything in mathematics, I'm not very good at that. And they said, no, you can do it, you have very good people from the field with you. You have two deputies, because in each year we have two deputies, and two deputies are very good, one physics with yes. Physics, the others with chemistry. And then do you take the human side? I said, no, I can't. Human sciences, I cannot. Because we have a completely reverse look on things. I'm very precise. I like to do the work very precisely, etc. They were fantasies, they were researchers, they were not coming to work, they were coming, their vulnus signalétique were late for 2 years' time, and they say it doesn't matter because it's in human sciences and we have the life. And they say, okay, Viard said it's very easy. You take them or I just disband the group. Then I came home, I told my husband, you know, some of these people, they are very bad, but some need to have a job and they have families, etc., what I'm going to do. And I said, okay, I will do it at interim until you find someone who can really take over completely. He said, okay. And but I was lucky because half of the people during my interim decided to leave because I forced them to come.
Come to work, yeah.
Yeah, to come to work. And some had several works, several jobs. Then it was not permitted, but you cannot come to several jobs. One had a restaurant, you know. But they found a lady, Maître des Requêtes au Conseil d'État. She was excellent. Louise Cadou. She was Madame Louise Cadou. She is now working in Conseil d'État. OUX.
OUX.
Louise Cadou. She was excellent. She always was telling me that I'm sorry that you didn't do the interim longer because maybe some of those would have left. Yes. But she recruited new people and they start working really.
So
then we started to study a little bit more the automation of all the bulletin signalétique. And then Jean-Vierre retired. And Jean-Vierre was replaced by Jacques Dollier. Of course, it was very, very difficult because Jacques Dollier was coming from the Délégation Générale à la Formation Scientifique et Technique in the Ministry of... it was part of the Prime Minister. La DGRST, it was called the DGRST. Yeah. And...
I want to ask you a little about that sort of administrative setup. But so he came from.
Then he came, and it was very difficult because we didn't know that. And Jean-Pierre once called the chiefs of the different departments, the chief librarian, the chief of. We had a kind of a research unit where they were trying to... Jacques Cordonnier, you may have heard Cordonnier, he was doing a kind of research on cards to do... don't even remember what he was doing. We had the reprography department with Jean-Jacques Bastardi, a very, very large department where they were doing the machines themselves for reprography. And we came here and we were... sitting there, and he said, "I want to tell you, this is your new boss." And there was a silence, terrible. Dollier was very shy, and it was a silence for 10 minutes. Nobody knew what to say. Pierre could have informed us before. And I said, okay, we will. He said, "I hope you will help him, or things you say that in that case." And I just say, "I have to say something. I'm the last arrival, but I have to say something." And I say, "Okay, we will help you as much as we can, except for some stupid things that you say in that case." And he was always very grateful to me to have broken this silence. And Dollier recruited a young guy called Pierre Buffet, whom you may have heard of. He is the director of international relations of Kestel. Kestel is a host computer, large host computer. They are doing chemical extracts in France. They are distributing chemical extracts. And this Pierre Buffet, he was coming from the army. Just from the army, and he studied in the north of France, and he was supposed to help us with computing. But at that time, they were telling us all the time, we said, "This is what we want, this is what we want." "Oh, that's impossible, that's impossible, that's impossible." And I said, "Look, I have to understand why all of this is impossible." And we had the possibility to have computing courses at INRIA, Institut National de la Recherche Informatique et Automatique, INRIA. It was INRIA. And we decided, André Berthelot, she was the chief of physics part, and myself, we decided to go and to follow the courses, to try to understand why everything was impossible.
Can I interrupt you? When you began the automation, you were talking about this little author indexes on a piece of paper, the exercises of stamps and so on. You were beginning to look at automation at that point. Were they actually experimenting with punch cards, or what were they doing in that very early period?
Okay. Myself, I never worked with punch cards.
Yeah.
But there was a department in CDST under the responsibility of Cordonnier, a guy named Cordonnier I never worked with.
Oh.
It was a transition period. He was experimenting with punch cards. This was a system, but he was experimenting with punch cards more for translations, because there was a translation department, to try to find the translations that were already done because it's very expensive to do translations. And when a researcher asked for a translation, it was interesting to know if the translation was already done. But I never worked with French cards. We started working with a computer. It was a modest, very modest attempt. And it was more difficult to do that than by hand at the beginning, because, you know, in America you had the experience with that, but in France there was not much experience.
Do you remember what the computer was, an IBM 360? Or?
I think it was an IBM 360.
Yeah, because that seems to be when these things started to become possible.
Yeah, I think it was an IBM 360. But I wouldn't put my hand to burn, because I really don't remember this period. And this is how we started the automation and why I studied the computing.
So where did you go to study the computing?
At INRIA.
INRIA, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was near Versailles.
Okay.
The other institute.
It was not a
study very, I would say, high level of mathematics. It was really practical on software, on hardware, on...
So you studied some programming and systems analysis and those kinds of things?
Yeah, more systems analysis than programming myself, because it was very difficult at that time to do the programming. It's much more difficult than now. This is how I went.
So then you went to do that because people kept saying, well, you couldn't do what it is that you folk wanted to do. And
yeah, we wanted to understand.
Mm-hmm. So then you gathered this expertise, and then what happened? You came back to the application of it.
And then we continued the automation. We produced the bulletin signalétique with the computer. And then we decided that it was not enough, and we start thinking about Pascal database. And Pierre Buffet and myself, we are the parents of the Pascal database. That was our idea. But at that time, the database was a byproduct of the bulletin signalétique. You know, we were doing bulletin signalétique, and then we had that all on tapes, and we tried to do a database with that, which is a reverse way of doing, which was, but we have understood that some years more, because there were so many corrections at the database. First, we had to take all the marks, all the codes, out of the database. It was taking a lot of time, because we needed a lot of codes. Nobody wants to abandon the bulletin signalétique with italics and bold and different type of characters and all the mathematical signs, etc. Then we were doing all that, and then on tape you cannot do anything, because the tape was so dirty with all these codes and marks.
For printing purposes. Yeah.
It was in fact a printed bulletin signalétique on tape.
Mm.
And when we saw how it was difficult to use these tapes, we started thinking of reversing the operation. But it was very, very difficult to tell to the editing staff, because they didn't want to abandon anything, and they all considered that nothing can be treated with the same system. That physics and medicine, they need a different system, and mathematics and human sciences, they need a special computing system for them. And we have heard that for years. And we decided that no, we are going to use only one system, and if there is a need of some adaptation for mathematics, for example, we'll see that later. And this is how we started the automation.
What did you do by way of the discovery and application of different standards, bibliographical standards, the mark formats and things of that kind?
Okay, I was involved in ISO TC46 during many, many years. Many, many years. I even chaired one of the annual meetings, etc. We were not using mark. because Mark was for librarian.